Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. You're listening to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Kirivu. Thank you for joining me today. We're previewing a Packers matchup against the Chicago Bears Sunday, 3:15 p.m. Central Time, otherwise known as Lambeau Time, at Soldier Field in the Windy City. What do you think? Packers gonna win? It's gonna be a tough game. I know it is. It's so tough to win in the NFL on the road. So tough. The Packers have beaten the Bears twice the last two matchups. But you can't point to those wins and just say the Packers are automatically going to win. It's going to be a knockdown, drag-out matchup. I just know it. You know? You would think the Super Bowl champions would be able to handle almost anyone, but it's going to be a tough one. That is for sure. Thanks for joining us today. Your comments are being approved on the live blog by our moderators, John Rahor, Jamie Jors. If you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, your comments will show up as well. And this morning, we are having a interview with Packers defensive lineman Jarius Wynn. The way things are working out, we're going to be having an interview with tight end Tom Crabtree live every Monday. And we can't get Jarius live on Railbird Central, but every week we'll be airing an interview with him, previously recorded. I think it was Wednesday I actually interviewed Jarius. We're going to get to it here right away. What a better way to kick off Packers-Bears week than a guy who's going to be playing in the game on Sunday. Here's our interview with Packers defensive lineman Jarius Wynn. Listen in. You're listening to Railbird Central, and right now on the line, we're talking to Packers defensive end Jarius Wynn. Jarius, how are you today?
How's it going, Brian?
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us. Jarius, the defense gave up quite a few yards last week, but the Packers won. Is that really what it's all about?
Oh, man. We gave up a million yards, but, you know, I thought we came out and played hard. And, you know, we just going to keep playing hard and continue to get better. I feel like we did give up a lot of yards, but we did the corrections, and we're going to be back on pace.
Now, the red zone defense so far has been fantastic. Maybe you can help explain this to me. Why is it that the defense gives up those yards, but when the opponent gets inside the 20-yard line, it's like a different defense out there?
Yeah, I feel like we get put in those type of positions, but, you know, we continue to, you know, not let them score. That's our mindset, you know. We might bend, but we won't break, you know. Just keep working hard and get better at the run defense. We're going to be okay.
In an article by Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he reported that you played the most snaps you've ever played as a professional. Were you tired after that big workload last week?
You know, I worked out to get in shape to be in that position. So, you know, I was kind of tired, but I really enjoyed it, and, you know, just gonna keep working to continue to get those type of games and to produce like that.
I saw you drop into coverage one time against the Panthers, which is obviously pretty rare for a defensive lineman. Does that make you nervous?
No, not at all. You know, I listen to the call that Dom tells me to do, and I try to execute it to the best of my ability. And, you know, it's fun out there, man. I'm enjoying it. I'm just going to continue to work hard to, you know, to stay started with the Green Bay Packers.
When can we expect you to get an interception like BJ last year?
Hopefully soon.
We're talking to Packers defensive lineman Jarius Wynn here on Railbird Central. Jarius, I've been hearing some concerns from fans that the defensive line isn't putting up many sacks this year. You have one sack, BJ Raji has one sack, but that's it from the linemen. Can you ease their concerns?
No, it shouldn't be a concern. Also, Clay and Eric Walden have the sack, but, you know, it's the beginning of the year, you know, we continue to get better, and, you know, maybe, you know, those sacks will come.
Now, the Bears' offensive line hasn't done a very good job of protecting Jay Cutler so far this year. Playing a team that's given up a lot of sacks, are you kind of salivating at the chance to get some more?
You know, I take every week in and out trying to get better at the position and, you know, try to read tendencies and also watch their linemen play. So I just going to continue to work hard to get those sacks. But I feel like the sacks will come.
A lot was made last year of the turf at Soldier Field in Chicago. What do you think of it? Is it really as bad as people say it is?
Yeah, I really don't like their turf, to be honest. Yeah, it's real soft, and, you know, you never get a good grip in the ground, and a lot of people be slipping and falling out there. So I really don't like their turf.
Finally, Jarius, this game against the Bears is a rivalry with a lot of history. You played in some pretty important games against them last season in the final game of the regular season and then again in the NFC Championship game. Do you have a hatred for the Bears, or is it more of a respect, or how would you describe it?
I know that's not a rival. You know, I just, like I said, I take every weekend, you know, trying to get better, and Just keep building on. But, you know, since Green Bay don't like the Bears, no, I don't like them either.
Jarius, that'll do. Thanks again so much for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you to Packers defensive end Jarius Wynn for joining us here on Railbird Central. Once again, as he will every Friday, we'll air his interviews here at CheeseheadTV.com. Jarius, I thought, perhaps the most interesting part of the interview, saying not to worry about the Packers' defensive line pass rush. It's early in the year. They're going to get better. And, you know, I brought up how the Packers' defensive line only has two sacks so far this year. I said, Jarius, you got one sack, and BJ Raji has one sack, and that's it. And he pointed out, you know, he's like, you know, Clay Matthews has a sack, Eric Walden has a sack, and it's kind of clear to them, you know, those guys are, you know, linemen when they play on the line of scrimmage, basically. I mean, they're linebackers. That's their position group. That's where they practice. You know, that's how we know them. But, you know, it's that they're linemen when they play on the line of scrimmage. You know, they got to defend the run too. They got to be stout against the run. You know, they might not be in a three-point stance like Jarius Wynn and BJ Raji and Ryan Pickett. But, you know, they're right there in the trenches as well. And he's right. I mean, it would be nice, certainly, if the Packers would get more of a pass rush from everyone. But it's not like it's been an issue so far. You know, the bigger issue would be the yards given up through the air, I believe. The Packers' pass defense has given up 800 yards so far this season. 31st in the NFL. 800 yards, an average of 400 a game through the air. Now, albeit, there's reasons for that. You know, part of the reason is I believe teams have fallen behind the Packers and they've had to play catch-up. You know, the Saints pretty much played the whole game behind the Packers. the Panthers, while they led in the first quarter, you know, but by halftime, the Packers were up and they were playing catch up in the second half. So, it, you know, that certainly factors into it. But still, I mean, to be last in the NFL, you know, kind of does raise a little bit of a red flag. You would hope the Packers' secondary, that's been praised for being so good, would perform a little bit better. Now, also, though, you do have to take into consideration Tremont Williams came out in the end of the game in week one, missed all of week two. Nick Collins missed a lot of the, you know, third and fourth quarters against the Panthers. So they have been missing some key pieces. But, I mean, you know, they're going to be up without Nick Collins for the rest of the year, though. You know, that's not going to be an excuse going forward. Now, can the Bears provide the same passing attack provided by Drew Brees and Cam Newton? Jay Cutler's such a hot and cold quarterback. I mean, he can look really, really good at times and really, really bad at others. You know, the Packers have done a pretty good job corralling him. A lot of people say the key to this week's game is Matt Forte, Bears running back, who the Bears have been using a bit in the passing game. I mean, a threat in the running game as well, but, you know, running backs have exploited the Packers' linebackers in pass coverage these first two games. Dump-offs, things like that, delayed routes. Jamie Jors says in reference to the hot and cold reference to Jay Cutler, more like lukewarm and freezing. Is that giving Jay Cutler too much praise that he's hot once in a while? John Rayor comments on the live blog, pressure, pressure, pressure. Get after Cutler, make him cry. Teams have done that so far this year. And that leaky Bears offensive line hasn't helped. Giving up the most sacks in the NFL. Packers got to get more sacks this week than they have been. I won't say they have to, but would certainly benefit from it. Saying have to, I suppose, might be unnecessary. Wins come in many different ways, however they get the job done. I'm sure Packer fans would take turnovers as a way to win as well. Kyle Cousineau, KCousineau09, comments on the live blog, this is the week Clay breaks out of his shell. Clay Matthews been kind of quiet the first 2 weeks. Hasn't played bad by any means. Just been kind of quiet. Has been double teamed a lot, and that's part of it. And that's fine, you know? That's going to free up other players elsewhere to get pressure on the quarterback, things like that. They want to double team Clay Matthews? Hey, that's all right. Maybe that means B.J. Raji is single teamed. And, you know, B.J. Raji might be stopped once, might be stopped twice, but he's not going to be stopped for an entire game. John Rayhor comments, remember the game Walden had against the Bears last year? Could see a repeat by him Sunday. Oh, was that a performance? Eric Walden, 3 sacks versus the Bears week 17 last year. Amazing game. NFC Defensive Player of the Week, he was named. Packers could really use a repeat performance by Eric Walden this week, this weekend, this Sunday. Would be fantastic. Kurt Kozad commenting on the live blog, there's been a lot of double coverage and schemes that isolate Clay Matthews. Anyhow, wanted to take a look at a couple things, couple notes in this morning's Packers Daily Links. Things that are noteworthy this Friday morning. If you scroll to the top of the live blog, I left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links. If you open it, take a look at the top story today. The Packers have been let's say they've second guessed the penalty, the roughing the passer penalty on Desmond Bishop last week against the Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton. Hit him in the second half of the game, got a roughing the passer penalty, and very controversial. You know, of course, it's a 15-yard penalty. And, you know, everybody that I've seen very few people, if any, defend the officials in this case. I mean, coming from, I haven't seen it anywhere. I mean, I think even most Panthers fans would tend to agree that was a legit hit. Desmond Bishop gets some pass rush up the middle, puts a shoulder into Cam Newton. The argument is that he lifted him off the ground, and as NFL rules are stated, I believe you can't lift and then force the quarterback to the ground. But, I mean, it seemed to be the perfect textbook form tackle, wrapping up, driving the player into the ground. I don't know how you do it any better than that. Desmond Bishop says he would make the same hit again. Mike McCarthy saying it was, quote, the perfect tackle. And on top of that, which the thing that happens to lend credence to this is that Desmond Bishop has yet to be fined by the NFL. You know, most of the time, if the players get a penalty like that, a lot of times they might have a fine forthcoming from the NFL. But that's not happening. Or at least it hasn't yet. And because it hasn't yet, it's probably not going to happen at all. I believe usually Fridays are the day the NFL announces fines. But that's just the day they announce them. They actually FedEx, I believe, I think if the report from Jason Wilde of ESPNMilwaukee.com, if I'm remember this correctly, I don't have it right in front of me. He says players are FedExed an envelope either Wednesday or Thursday informing them that they've been fined and have to pay a fine. And that didn't happen in the case of Desmond Bishop, as beat reporters have asked him and found out. If you believe them, which I don't know why you wouldn't. So, you know, there's this thing lingering with the Packers, and you know it makes me frustrated as a former football player. It just, and not a good one by any means, but still, you know, to see a tackle made like that, you know, that's the way I would want to make a tackle. That's the way I would teach somebody how to make a tackle. I could point that hit out on film and show it to them and say, this is how you tackle. It's terrible. Terrible, terrible. Anyhow, put the phone number up on the screen. If anybody wants to call in, by all means, 646-797-2909. If you want to weigh in on Desmond Bishop's hit, you want to weigh in on the pass rush, you want to weigh in on the Packers-Bears game, by all means, feel free. Elsewhere in the news today, in the Packers Daily Links, you know, after the Desmond Bishop stories, we have more on Jordy Nelson. Seemed to be a hot topic yesterday as several reporters wrote articles on Jordy Nelson and the wide receivers core. And it's kind of becoming apparent that even though Jordy Nelson sometimes isn't in the starting lineup when the Packers start only two wide receivers. Usually it's Greg Jennings and Donald Driver, and you know, there's, you know, those guys deserve to start. I agree, I believe, and nothing wrong with that. But it, just in terms of who's the biggest threat on the team, who Aaron Rodgers is going to the second most, you know, he's obviously hitting, at least among the wide receivers, Greg Jennings is getting the most targets, the most catches, most yards, most touchdowns, whatever. But after that, you know, Jordy Nelson kind of quietly has ascended to the number two wide receiver spot. Not that he's starting ahead of Donald Driver, but he's getting more passes thrown his way than Donald Driver and James Jones and Randall Cobb, for that matter, as well. And Jordy Nelson has been doing fantastic. I mean, you know, let's look back to the playoffs last year and especially the Super Bowl. 9 catches in the Super Bowl for Jordy Nelson for something like 140 yards. And here he is, the second most catches in among the team in 2011 among the wide receivers. And it's just, I mean, Jordy Nelson rather quietly has become the number two wide receiver on the team, the number two option at least. Boy, it would really be interesting to see. Not that I want this to happen or I'm calling for it to happen. You know, just what if, you know, hypothetically, in make-believe world, Greg Jennings wasn't a member of the Packers or he got hurt or, you know, whatever. I'm just saying this hypothetically. You know, what would the wide receiving core look like then? How often would Jordy Nelson get passes? You know, would he be considered for the Pro Bowl? You know, I would think so. I would think so. Brad Stanley asked if I knocked on wood. Here we go. Knocking on wood. I don't want that to happen to Greg Jennings. Love him. Certainly. Question from Brian on the live blog. You think they switch it around this week with the increased focus on Nelson and Jones gets a bit more action? Good question. I think things stay pretty much the same. I mean, certainly you can't predict what's going to happen game to game. I just think that generally, most of the time, most games, all season long, Greg Jennings and JerMichael Finley will kind of be the top targets. And after that, it'll be, you know, some sort of combination of Jordy Nelson and Donald Driver. And, you know, I just can't see James Jones getting a lot of receptions. I just can't see it. I can't see it happening. Unless all of a sudden there are injuries ahead of him. You know, I'm sure there will be a game or two throughout the year where James Jones has, you know, quite a few receptions, 5 or more. But I think unless injuries happen, you know, those games are going to be few and far between. There's going to be 1 or 2 of those games. It's a good question. I mean, you know, maybe the Packers want to all of a sudden target Jones because maybe there will be increased attention on Greg Jennings and Jordy Nelson and JerMichael Finley. And now they're going to want to go the guy who's perhaps maybe only single covered, something like those matters. John Rahor asked, they talked about this on Cheesehead Radio last night, is Jones now the number 5 wide receiver? I suppose so. Not like the Packers look at it that way. You know, they're not going to really say there's a number 5 wide receiver. And I suppose there's not, but I mean, you just look at the other options. I mean, if I were Aaron Rodgers, I'd be looking at the other four first before James Jones, I suppose. And that's nothing against James Jones. He's just he's in a very deep wide receiving core with a lot of talent in it. And all of a sudden, if there are injuries ahead of him, his workload's going to increase. Good question. Anyway, I have to come out and say this. I just, not that I feel good about this, but I said it in my column. If you happen to read my Against the Spread column yesterday, I wrote for Cheesehead TV last night. I predict the Bears are going to win this game. The Packers fan in me wants the Packers to win. I will cheer for the Packers. You know, I honest to goodness, I'm not putting any money on the game. I can say that truthfully. Whether or not you believe me is another question. But, you know, I just write that column because I know there are people out there who like to legally gamble. But anyhow, I predict the Bears are going to win, and I know Packers fans aren't happy to read that. I think the Bears will win not only against the spread, but, you know, straight up as well. And I'm taking the under in this game. I think it'll be close. The Packers are favored by 3.5 points. I'm taking the Bears to win and win straight up. And also the under in this game, under 45.5 points, just barely, but the under. This has always been kind of a low-scoring game, or at least it has been, the past several meetings between the Packers and the Bears. Not the high-scoring affairs the Packers have gotten into so far this season. So anyway, here's to me being wrong. So that's the prediction for this weekend. By all means, I'm cheering for the Packers. Go Pack, go. I want to see you beat the Bears, but just the unbiased person in me sees tough to win on the road, no matter who you're playing. Bears going to be amped up, and still a very good defense from the Bears. So say what you will about the offense, being banged up at wide receiver, offensive line, Jay Cutler uneven, but the Bears defense with Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs and Julius Peppers can be very good at times. And anyway, that's it from me, folks. Thanks for joining me this morning here on Railbird Central. Like I said, not saying I'm proud of. I'm cheering for the Pack. So we'll see you here on Sunday at Cheesehead TV. Come back for our live blog and our post-game show. And, of course, coverage all week long. Thanks again for Jamie George, John Rahor. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a good weekend. Go Pack, go. We'll see you later.